Today, rising global volatility drives markets lower on tech valuation concerns. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Though weirdly, these shows tend to get less views than many of my other productions. For me, they are the most important because here we dive into what's really driving the markets. And frankly, well, it's not pretty now. On Friday, the Nasdaq closed lower, but the S&P 500 and the Dow eked out late session gains as investors turned the page on a rollercoaster week. With economic worries, the longest ever federal government shutdown, although investors were encouraged by reports that a renewed effort was being made to end the shutdown. But then we had sky-high tech stock valuations dampening risk appetite. Nevertheless, the CEOs of Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs both this week cautioned that equity markets could be headed towards a drawdown, underscoring concerns about elevated equity valuations. The S&P 500's forward price-to-earnings ratio is around 23 times. That's above the 10-year average of 18.8. The tech sector's forward PE is around 32 times. That's well above its 10-year average of 22.2. Fueled by a long period of strong performance, tech is by far the biggest sector in the S&P 500, accounting for around 36% weight in the index. That's a higher level than during the dot-com bubble 25 years ago. If you add in mega-cap companies that are not classified as part of the technology sector, like Google's parent Alphabet, Amazon, Tesla, and Facebook parent Meta platforms, the combined weight amounts to nearly half of the S&P 500. With so much riding on the prospects of AI, the sector's heavy weighting in major indices leaves broader markets vulnerable to negative developments. Or to put another way, the rest of the markets are going sideways or down. The MSCI Global Index slid this week down 1.48%, having hit an all-time high at the end of October. The European Stoxx 600 slid 1.24% across the week, while the S&P 500 fell 1.63% over the five trading days. The Dow was down 1.21% and the Nasdaq fell more than 3%. The ASX 200 in Australia was also down 1.26% over the week, and gold did rise above $4,000, but, well, it was hardly convincing. Trading was volatile, and the VIX, a key metric to measure volatility, opened at 19.52, surged to 22.72, but then reversed, falling to 19.08 on Friday. Another view of the market's tumbling mood was seen in Bitcoin, which tumbled below 100,000 US again before rallying near the US close on Friday. All three US indices lost ground from last Friday's close, with the Nasdaq registering its largest weekly percentage drop since the end of March, beginning of April, amid mounting concerns over inflated valuations of AI-related momentum stocks, which of course have provided much of the upside muscle to the stock market's rally over recent months. Concerns arising from the government shutdown were also apparent in the University of Michigan's preliminary take on November consumer sentiment, which fell to its lowest level in over 3 years at 50.5 in November, compared to 53.6 in October. Survey participants assessed current conditions at their most pessimistic in the survey's history. Overall, sentiment has slid 29.9% since November 2024, when US President Donald Trump was elected to his second term in the Oval Office. The shutdown also led to a blackout of official economic indicators, complicating the Federal Reserve's dual mandate of promoting free employment and price stability. Private sector data filled some of the gaps on Thursday. Challenger, Gray, and Christmas reported that US companies announced a 183.1% surge in layoffs in October compared to the prior month, the steepest monthly jump in decades. Figures from the Bank of America Institute indicated that while the labor market has not slowed substantially compared to September, there has been a noticeable cooling since the spring. But that said, a separate report from payrolls processor ADP, released earlier in the week, found that the private firms in the US added 42,000 roles last month, bouncing back from the revised loss of 29,000 in September and another dip in August. On the trade front, the US Supreme Court on Wednesday expressed skepticism over the legality of President Donald Trump's tariffs, raising doubts about the durability of his trade measures. But Beijing has begun creating a new rare earth licensing program that could speed up shipments, but then it's likely to fall short of Washington's hopes for a complete rollback of such restrictions. Tesla shareholders approved a historic compensation plan for CEO Elon Musk, backing a potential payout of up to $1 trillion in stock over the next decade. The vote conducted at Tesla's annual meeting in Austin, Texas, saw over 75% of shares cast in favor of the deal, which hinges on ambitious performance targets, including reaching an $8.5 trillion market valuation and deploying robot taxis and humanoid robots. Electric vehicle makers' shares fell 3.7%. Microchip technology shares dropped 5.2% after forecasting quarterly net sales below estimates. Shares of Expedia surged 17.6% after the travel platform reported solid bookings from its business-to-business segment. Block, though, slumped 7.7% after missing third-quarter profit expectations, and Take-Two Interactive fell 8.1% following the company's decision to delay the launch of its popular video game Grand Theft Auto 6 to November 2026. Analysts are predicting year-on-year S&P 500 earnings growth of 16.8% for the July to September period, a significant improvement over the 8% annual growth. The Fed cut interest rates by 25 basis points at its October policy meeting in a bid to temper any further softening of the jobs market, but Fed Chair Jerome Powell flagged that another reduction this year was not a guarantee. The two-year US Treasury yield rose to 3.63%, the highest since the end of September, but then fell back to 3.562, while the 10-year was up to 4.097%. Bets for a December Fed rate cut have fallen to 59% and a further cut in January to 21%. The US dollar index was last at 99.56. Gold futures climbed above $4,000 and silver was over $48. Crude oil and natural gas were flat on the day, with oil flat for the trailing month, while natural gas was up 31% going into the winter heating season. Brent oil was last at $63.70, while WTI was at $59.84, as Hungary got a one-year relief from Trump, allowing them to continue to buy restricted Russian crude. European shares ended a volatile week lower on Friday, as worries over elevated valuation of technology-related stocks persisted, while Britain's ITV jumped on talks to sell its broadcasting division. The continent-wide Stoxx 600 index closed down 0.6% at 564.78 points. It logged its biggest weekly two-week loss since early September, when sovereign debt worries and political uncertainty in France resurfaced. Analysts point to a myriad of factors, including elevated valuations in tech-related stocks, a US government shutdown, and a hawkish Federal Reserve commentary, catching the spillover of the broader risk-off sentiment that's largely stemming from the US price action. Technology stocks were down 2.1% on the day, and they were among the top decliners of the week, while tech equipment makers such as Schneider Electric and Siemens Energy logged heavy losses. Heavyweight banks also declined. On the other hand, beaten down auto stocks, which added a further 0.6% on Friday, have rallied on expectations that Nexperia will resume chip shipments from China. Omovia gained 9.8% after reporting strong third-quarter results. The chief executive of the German car parts supplier told Reuters that the company had secured deliveries of Nexperia's chips from China. ITV jumped 16.6% to top the Stoxx 600 index after saying that it was in talks with pay TV company Sky, which is owned by Comcast, over a potential sale of its media and entertainment unit for £1.6 billion, including debt. Rightmove, though, slumped 12.5% after Britain's biggest property portal forecast slower profit growth in 2026, and British Airways owner IAG lost 11.6% after reporting quarterly results and cautioned about softness in the US economy cabin market. Meanwhile, Novo Nordisk lost 5.1% after drug maker and peer Eli Lilly struck a deal with the US to lower prices on their blockbuster GLP-1 weight loss drugs. The Bank of England held rates this week, though still signalled more cuts later, possibly but those will be impacted by the Chancellor's upcoming budget due at the end of the month, which is casting a long shadow following an unprecedented early speech about the need to get the budget back in better nick and implying tax hikes despite earlier election promises not to do this. Given the massive budget hole, severe measures will be needed. Gilts responded to the speech with two-year and 10-year yields rising. Asian stock markets tumbled on Friday for a steep weekly loss as a global tech sell-off deepened amid valuation concerns, while renewed US-China trade tensions further rattled investors. Technology shares in Japan and South Korea led the declines, while investors on the day focused on the Chinese trade figures for October. Japan's Nikkei 225 plunged 2.3% on Friday, with a near 5% drop this week, dragged down by declines in technology-related stocks. The topics also fell. The yen's renewed weakness has reignited speculation that Japan's Ministry of Finance may step into the foreign exchange market, but Bank of America Global Research said that intervention appears not imminent at 155. Following the Bank of Japan's decision to hold policy steady, the US dollar Japan split resumed its upward climb, reaching nearly 154 yen. Analysts at Bank of America Securities noted that absent of a sharp rise in speculative positions or volatility, the split could test the 158 level before triggering a meaningful policy response, though the risk of an overshoot to 160 in the fourth quarter of 2025 has risen. The US dollar's advance has brought the US dollar Japanese yen slightly above the average pre-intervention level of 153.6, which was observed since 2022. The two-week and one-month rate of change stands up 2.2 and 4.7% respectively, marginally above historical averages that preceded prior interventions, they said. However, volatility remains subdued. SoftBank Group shares slumped 9% on Friday, while chipmaker Advantest Corp retreated 7%. South Korea's KOSPI tumbled nearly 3% for a 4% weekly decline. Chipmaking giant Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix extended losses. The moves came amid concerns that lofty valuations in the semiconductor and AI sectors may not be sustainable. India's Nifty 50 dropped more than 1%, but closed at 25,492.30. Data on Friday showed that Chinese exports fell unexpectedly in October after a sharp rise in the previous month, missing forecasts for a modest rise. Imports also weakened, leading to a decline in the country's trade balance, suggesting persistent trade pressures and weak domestic demand. Exports fell for the first time in 8 months, dropping 1.1% from a year earlier, according to official data released on Friday. Tensions with the US over trade escalated last month before a deal was reached later in October by President Donald Trump and Xi Jinping at talks in South Korea. Even as exports boomed last quarter, China's economic growth decelerated to the weakest pace in a year and risked an ever steeper slowdown in the months ahead. Chinese exports have been resilient until now, as other markets have made up for drops in shipments across the Pacific Ocean. Sales abroad have grown every month since February, when activity slowed because of the Lunar New Year holiday. But a range of trade indicators started to cool off in October after the record numbers seen in earlier months, with Shanghai port processing the fewest containers since April. Meanwhile, tensions between Washington and Beijing further unsettled markets. A report from the Information on Thursday stated that the US plans to block NVIDIA from selling scaled-down AI chips to China, a move that could limit Chinese firms' access to advanced technology. This follows a Reuters report saying that Beijing intends to ban the use of foreign-made AI chips in state-funded data centers, a measure seen as part of China's push to support domestic chip production. Despite last week's meeting between US President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping, recent export control announcements have underscored that friction in the tech sector remains unresolved. China's blue-chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Indices edged 0.2% lower each. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped 1.2%, with the Hang Seng Tech sub-index down over 2%. The Australian share market finished low on Friday to record a second consecutive weekly drop, with markets no longer fully pricing an interest rate cut in this cycle since the Reserve Bank of Australia held the cash rate on Tuesday. the ASX 200 dropped 0.7%, despite 6 of the 11 sectors being in the green. The benchmark shed 1% for the week. Heavyweight financials offset gains elsewhere as Macquarie tumbled 5.7% to $204.77 as a $1.7 billion September half-year profit missed analyst forecasts by more than 10%, according to UBS. Commonwealth Bank was down 1.5% to $174.91, while National Australia Bank rebounded 1%. Technology was the weakest sector as it tracked losses on the NASDAQ, where Sydney-based IREN plunged 12%, WiseTech Global retreated 2.7% to $6.17, Life360 was down 3.6% to $46.64, and Xero was down 2.5% to $141.74. Materials were mixed. Newmont rallied 1.8% to $128 as gold neared $4,000 again, while Rio Tinto and Fortescue were both down nearly 1.5% as iron ore prices dropped 2.37% to $101.45 per ton for its biggest weekly drop since February, as weak steel demand in China and shrinking mill margins weighed on sentiment. China's steel market is entering a seasonally subdued period, just as the ferrous complex lacks new macro catalysts to keep prices up. At the same time, ample iron ore supplies continue to arrive, with additional tonnage expected next year from projects such as Guinea's Simandou. China's iron ore imports totaled 111.31 million tonnes last month in October, staying above 100 million tonnes for a straight fifth month. Alliance Aviation fell 42.7% to $1.45 as trading resumed after a voluntary suspension. The Qantas-backed aviation services provider warned that financial year 26 results would fall well short of analyst expectations due to high aircraft, engine and maintenance costs. Founding Managing Director Scott McMillan also stepped down from the board. In company news, News Corp jumped 3% to $46.35 as revenue December quarter of $2.41 billion came in better than expected, driven by Dow Jones and real estate services offsetting sluggish advertising in its Australian print product. Afterpay owner Block plunged 15.8% to $95.12 after the fintech's third quarter showed revenue of $6.11 billion compared to expectations of $6.34 billion. Qantas fell 6.6% to $9.51 after forecasting first half financial year 26 domestic unit revenue to increase just 3% at the low end of guidance, as it noted that non-resource sector corporate demand was growing more slowly than leisure. James Hardie rose 1.4% to $26.12 after it lost 12.7% on Thursday, which the company attributed to its imminent removal from the Morgan Stanley Capital International Index. Outdoor advertising group oMedia fell 6% to $1.26 as it warned of a weaker finish to the year from softer advertising conditions and the loss of a major New Zealand contract. And REA Group fell 1% to $209.20 after the classified provider reported revenue of $429 million in the December quarter, up 4% year-on-year, with EBITDA, excluding associates, rising 5% to $254 million. The Aussie was at 64.95 US cents and 49.25 UK pence after the RBA held rates on Melbourne Cut Day, thanks to concerns about inflation, as I discussed in my recent show with Damien Klassen. As a result, the two-year Aussie bond was at 3.576, while the 10-year was at 4.348, with fears that the current rate-cutting cycle might be ending, despite the media hype in the property sector at the moment, of course. For more on that, see my recent show, Have We Reached Peak Housing Stupidity Yet? Finally, Bitcoin extended losses on Friday for a steep weekly drop, as fragile risk appetite amid a rout in global tech stocks kept investors largely adverse towards cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin was last back above 100,000 again. The world's second crypto slumped in a bear market this week, falling over 20% from an early October record high. All this came as selling in broader risk-driven markets, especially equities, spilled over into crypto. Concerns over stretched valuations in the technology sector sparked a wave of selling equity markets over the week, which in turn spilled over into other sectors. Economic uncertainty also weighed as an ongoing US government shutdown disrupted vast swathes of the world's biggest economy and delayed the release of several key data points. But US President Donald Trump said earlier in the week that he wants the country to further embrace Bitcoin and crypto technology, calling for US leadership in the field. He touted his administration's passing of several crypto-friendly legislations and claimed that the US had ended its regulatory war against crypto. "We're making the United States the Bitcoin superpower, the crypto capital of the world," Trump said, while also calling for further leadership over China. Trump's administration doled out several crypto-friendly measures this year, including the creation of a national crypto stockpile and the establishment of a regulatory framework for stablecoins, but he stopped short of announcing government purchases of digital assets. Despite weak weekly performance, US spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds recorded $240 million worth of net inflows on Thursday. That snapped a six-day streak of withdrawals. Total trading volumes for the spot ETFs reached $4.77 billion, up from $4.07 billion the previous day. Spot Ethereum ETFs in the US also saw a turnaround, attracting $12.5 million in net inflows after six straight days of outflows. Broader crypto prices also moved in a flat to low range on Friday and were also nursing strong weekly losses amid the broader risk-off move. World number two crypto Ether fell nearly 4% to 3,230 and was trading down over 17% this week, but then rose later to 3,446.10. Ether had slipped to its lowest level since the middle of July earlier in the week. XRP fell 4.4%. Solana dipped 4.1%. So here we are in the dog days of the year, and normally markets would be bubbling higher, but the risks in the markets are definitely getting extended, and speculative concern over the future of AI continues to rise. There are, of course, up and down possibilities from this point through to the rest of the year, but it could well be that the AI boom is coming unglued. And if that's the case, because of the way that it's supported markets, not just in the US, but around the world, so strongly to this point, then maybe a down rather than up move from here is feasible. We'll have to watch and wait and see what happens. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.